The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene, a very good afternoon to you from a very, very warm and humid Johannesburg.
Well, good afternoon to you from my lockdown locale, and apparently it's going to be extended right here in Mordi in Israel, in between the holy city of Jerusalem and the very modern city. Well, it is still over 100 years of Tel Aviv, and it's quite chilly today. Very, very deceptive weather. Looks sunny, but really isn't.
You mentioned that it looks like lockdown may be extended. What's happening with COVID and the vaccination in Israel at the moment?
Well, the vaccination drive, which is Operation Give a Shoulder, because you actually really have to give yourself have to give over your shoulder to be zapped, is still going full speed ahead. The health ministry announced this morning that they had given the go-ahead to the Moderna vaccine. We'll be receiving about 6 million units of that within the next couple of weeks. But what is likely to happen pretty soon is that we will stop the vaccine drive with the Pfizer vaccines in order to give people who are due their second jab, their second and final jab from there. And what is also very impressive to notice that we still lead by a long shot, and that two-thirds of all our elderly people who are in care home facilities have received their vaccine. So we're really taking care to vaccinate the most vulnerable. But while this is still going on, we still are seeing an increase in the amount of infections. In fact, managers of hospitals have said that this third wave seems to be a lot worse than the first two. So, you know, if I could give any advice to South Africans is, you know, whatever you need to do to protect yourself, to isolate, whatever the medical professionals tell you to do, you know, really, really listen to them. Gantz and Netanyahu agreed just moments ago to extend the lockdown to another 10 days from Thursday, and they will close more businesses as a result, limit the amount of people allowed in offices as a result, and also close supermarkets by 7 p.m. every night. And they reckon that this second wave, or that this British strain, is responsible for the uptick in our figures. And one thing that is worrying is that, according to Israel's Channel 12, at least 60% of those recently infected don't know where they were infected. Some say maybe it's from members of their household. Some say from school or in the workplace or on public transport or in the synagogue. So a lot of work has to go now to the track, trying to see where this comes from. But one thing that we do know is that at least 30 people have come back with the British version of the virus, and they've gone on to infect about 189 others, which is why we could be seeing a surge. You know, not that we want to blame another country, but it's just it's these particular strains that we are seeing, and schools will all be closed from Thursday following the upsurge. So, you know, on the one hand, while we are quickly rolling out our vaccines, the government are hoping that a full and very, very strict lockdown combined with this very, very important and significant vaccination rollout program should help get us back to low numbers and hopefully in time beat this pandemic.
I agree with you. It's no point in blaming other nations. Sadly, what's trending on social media at the moment worldwide is the word South African variant. And the South African strain seems to have taken the world by surprise. And most of all, it seems to have taken South Africans by surprise. But maybe it's the wake-up call they needed. And perhaps now we'll see people taking this a lot more seriously. Moving on. The UN has adopted a budget that the US and Israel objected to. Why did they object to the UN adopting their budget?
Okay, so this vote went ahead on Friday, on Thursday of last week, and it was voted 167 for the budget, two against. The two against the budget, Israel and the United States. And a couple of days later, and of course all the red tape and bureaucracy, the budget has been passed. Why the Israelis and the Americans object to this budget is that in this year's budget there is there are funds allocated to an event or to some kind of commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the UN Conference Against Racism that was held in Durban, South Africa in 2001. This was just prior to September 11th. And instead of dealing with the major issue of racism and its impact on various countries around the world, the UN and the NGOs present focused almost solely on Israel, likening Zionism to racism. It was here where the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement known as BDS really came into global consciousness. And of course, you know, it's very symbolic, because if you're going to talk about racism, where better to do it or to hold the conference and to launch something with racism as the central canard than in South Africa, the home of apartheid, where it was born and eventually defeated. And this became a free-for-all against Israel, against Jews. We had never seen such rhetoric in the media, the likes of what we were seeing. I remember the media team Israel, very well put together by the Zionist Federation and the Board of Deputies, a group of volunteers, which is still going today, by the way, people, trying to deal with the some of the hate speech that was coming out. A lot of countries getting up and walking out of the conference, saying that that all it has become is an excuse to bash Israel. And you can see from this budget and from having this particular event highlighted for the year why America and Israel will not agree to this kind of budget.
As an ex-army man that served in the intelligence community, I see that our next topic and final topic for the day is all about the IDF deploying an all-female intelligence unit to the north. Fascinating.
Well, can we just give it up for the ladies, Chad? You know, yesterday we spoke about Arabic. Yeah, there we go. There we go. It's not only Gal Gadot, although she is fabulous and a Wonder Woman. You know, yesterday we spoke about the Arab-Israeli community, Muslim and Christians, who are increasing their numbers of volunteers who are serving in the IDF. Today we have it announced that we will have a full female intelligence unit responsible for information gathering or intelligence gathering using drones in the north, which of course is a real volatile hotspot region. We've got Al-Qaeda, we've got Jabhat al-Nusra, we've got ISIS, we've got Hezbollah, we've got all sorts of nasties trying to encroach on our borders and get into our country, and we will have these fearsome females dealing with that. Not only do we have that, Chad, but we also have the head of intelligence to deal with Iran is also now a female. And if that wasn't enough, we're going to make it a lady hat trick. I'm not going to use any other terminologies because there's no telling where some people's minds will go. That the other bit of great news coming out last week is a lone soldier from Boston, a female, the first female lone soldier to graduate pilot's course, which is no small feat. So, yeah, let's give it up for the ladies in the army. Women serve. They have served in the army since the birth of the State of Israel, since the army was formed, many of them holding very high ranks, going on to achieve a famous South African by the name of Alice Walker. She campaigned very, very, very hard for the right of women to be allowed to enter pilot course. And that is something that we really, really can hold as one of our great achievements.
Rolly Marks, thank you so much. I look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.